going on, people? I'm Mr. Pleasant.
I am Mrs. Pleasant.
And welcome to A Pleasant Connection. Radio. Happy Wednesday, guys. Hope everyone's doing well.
Hope y'all staying safe out there. I hope this week is full of potential. And we're in the month of May. And if you guys don't know, the month of May is, help me well, because I say it wrong every time.
Mental Awareness Month.
There we go.
Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, I always mess it up. So this month is going to be filled with, we're not sure how God's going to take it, but just know that we'll be focusing on mental health and tying it to social, how can I say it? Social
awareness
or being more aware of how mental health really does affect how we interact with one another and our relationships. And so we're going to just tie it together. And today we're going to talk about the word or the symptoms so that we'll give you a warning before, because some things that we're going to talk about today might be a little triggering for some people. So what we're going to talk about today is depression. And so I just want to go ahead and put that out there before we get to that topic, so you all know what we're going to be talking about today in regards to building good relationships and knowing how to identify it and knowing how to help someone living through it. So but before we go into all that good stuff, we want to say thank you, Carla, once again, for this opportunity to just love on people and share what God has given us. And we thank you so much for the opportunity. And then for the people that's coming back to listen to us on this podcast, we thank you so much.
Thank you, love you.
I hope it's blessing you, and I hope you're able to share it with someone who might need it.
Right. Thank you. So, yes, let's check out a fun game. We played it last week, here's the thing, y'all. Last week, you kind of missed out on our game because we had some audio difficulties. And instead of trying to chop it up and make it make sense, I just unfortunately had to cut it out. But I hope y'all guys enjoyed the story time.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? Maybe we should do the game again then.
Yeah. Let me grab. Well, all right. Yeah. I'll go back to the game. Okay, we're gonna try the other game again. So what we played last week, which we had to cut out unfortunately, was the table topics game. It's a game called Table Topics, and it's like pop culture questions and trivia and things like that.
Yeah.
So we did the 90s. Unfortunately, like I said, we had to lose the audio. So you know what? Give me 1 second. We'll take a quick little intermission, and we'll be right back.
All right, we're back. All right, let's get into it. So table topics, and we're doing 90s. Pop culture
90s. All right, so cut the cards. I'll pull a card here. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Sierra, what amazed you about the internet the first time you logged on?
how fast you get to interact with people across the world.
Oh wow.
Because I used to go to chat rooms and just look
chat
at
chat rooms. You were in the chat rooms?
I went to the chat rooms to see what it was about.
You grown?
And it was really interesting to see how people from different cultures could interact. That was pretty cool to me.
Awesome.
And how fast it worked. Yeah.
What fascinated me? I think it was just because it was so new. I'm one of those people. It's new. Oh, like I'm shiny. Shiny. So just how new it was. And it was almost to a point where I was looking for, I remember looking at movies, looking at commercials. And when they popped up the WW, you knew that company was on it. And they still was like, oh, you know, you could call us. I'm like, eh. You better get that website because times is changing.
Now it's better have an app.
You better have an app. You better have a way to pay online, order online, because I'm not calling every time.
Crazy how it's time has changed. All right. Question for me. Which Steven Spielberg movie did you love most from the 90s?
Ooh, wow.
I gotta Google this.
Oh, wow. Steven Spielberg.
You know, I don't connect names and stuff like this.
From the 90s, though, I'll say E.T.
You go,
was that 90s? Was that 90s? Was E.T. 90s?
It was actually 1982.
Oh, wow. I'm way off.
Because,
all right.
Because we were able to see it in the
90s. I guess we I'll, all right. Babies. I guess I'll say Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I like Jurassic Park. Now I'm older. I can see the plot holes and stuff like that. But yeah, it fascinated me just to see. They would really be good with those animatronics. Those dinosaurs looked real. How about you, Sierra?
Yeah. So like I told you, I couldn't connect it. Actually, my... he did Back to the Future too. Wow,
he did a lot of movies.
Ooh,
Minority Report. I mean, I know that's not the
'90s,
but I loved Hook.
I love Hook. So for me, he did that one too.
Sierra's learning. Wow. Sierra's getting going down memory lane.
I didn't know he did all.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg is he's the man.
I would say for me, which I did not know, it was in the 90s. We had to pick the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say The Color Purple, but I guess can't say that now. And guess what? Back to the Future was in the 80s. How about that?
Yeah.
The 90s. Okay.
See, it go down on me. She didn't realize.
Well, the one I said I liked, Hook. Yeah. I love Hook. Anything with Robin Hood and
Robin Williams. Robin Hood.
What did I say?
He said Robin Hood. Rest in peace, Robin Williams.
But it is Robin Hood.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say the actor's name.
No, it wasn't, but it is Robin Hood.
But that's not Robin Hood.
That's a whole other difference.
Yeah, that's a whole other difference. Robin Hood.
Peter Pan.
Yeah. See, I was like, Robin Hood is not.
I was trying. Yes, you was right. I was trying to take him. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, my bad. Peter Pan. But yeah, I love Hook. I love Hook. Yeah, Hook was bomb.
Hook was good.
Hook was bomb. I love it.
You want to do another one? We're done. There you go. One more.
Let's do another one.
For Sierra.
Okay, let's do another one.
Oh, you don't. You asked me this one.
I'll ask you this one.
Because you don't know.
What's one of your favorite Seinfeld episodes? Yeah, this one.
I have to say, guys, hear me out. I'm not a writer. It'd be cool eventually one day write something, but. When I watch TV and movies, I kind of like to see how. I'm really curious, like, what goes to the writer's mind for them to even think about this? And I think my favorite episode ever with them is the parking garage. It literally was set in a parking garage, and they made it entertaining the whole way through. And it was just funny moments like Kramer walking around with the air conditioner and trying to keep balanced. And then, who was it? Jerry had to go restroom, and he couldn't find anywhere to go. It's like stuff you don't think about. And it's relatable to your life. That's what I always find that fascinating, how they could portray what's relatable to our life and make it humorous. It's just stuff you're not even thinking about.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. I don't think you have anything, Sierra. How about the suit? I think you might. You remember the suit Nazi?
Well, I don't like that.
I'm trying to think. Of the characters that you might remember.
What's the show I like? You said I actually really don't like that show after years of watching it with me. What's the show?
You talking about ER?
No, it wasn't ER. It was the other one. Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, you didn't like that show.
I just never get how they're doing surgery and they're talking about relationship at the same time.
Hey, relationships. Happen whenever. That was free for you.
Oh, actually. That was good. Oh,
you're supposed to ask for me. You're supposed to, yeah.
Got you. Forgot. Oh, wow. I don't know. Did you have a Beanie Baby? Yeah, some of these fit. Oh, this one. Y'all missed this last week.
Sorry.
Which Spice Girl would you have liked to be for a day?
I don't like that she's called Scary Spice.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But I like her persona. I would be Scary Spice mixed with Sporty Spice. Sporty Spice. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Spice.
Sporty Spice. Yeah, I would have been a mixture of those two. I think I am. In real life. Actually,
I remember the video. She used to move.
Yeah, honey. This big girl can get down. Can I get down with him?
My baby can get down. Y'all don't know.
We get to the end. Check it out on the quiz.
Really? We get to the end.
I didn't mean it like that. Sorry, y'all. We know what's on his mind. Anywho.
Nice transition to
something that's serious, but we hope that we're able to bring God into whatever you're dealing with mentally. And that's what these next couple of weeks will be about, because how we deal with our mental helps us with our relationships and our being socially engaging, you know what I mean, with people that you don't know and that you do know.
Because, so, I mean, that's like, how can you minister to God? How can you you know, save someone if you're dealing with your own issues. So sometimes you have to stop dealing with your issues so that you can be a blessing to someone else.
Yeah.
So it's very important for us to be a little selfish and focus on our well-being.
And sometimes you have to deal with what you're going through in front of people. Because
you are so right.
That is life. That is life. And knowing how to navigate that is super important. Because that Carla, I'm just going to say Carla's name.
Yes.
Honey.
She be showing us every day.
Honey.
She be so open. Carla, you're so open and just my, like you've become my role model. I'm looking at how that you're staying so strong through everything, and you make sure you let us know what's going on so that someone out there, even me, know that, you know, there's hope for well-being, yeah, you know, of our mind and of our spirit.
So this past year has been full of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questionable things.
Right.
I think every person, if they really think about it, had a moment of depression.
Right.
Had a moment, and if you have a clinical diagnosis of depression, this past year could have been really, really hard for you.
Right.
And so we pray for you that you are seeking the help that you need and that you are getting the help that you need so that you can stay healthy and still be here with us. But as we dive into this, the name of this title that we had before we presented it to A Pleasant Connection was Depressed Because I'm Being Pressed.
Right.
And you just think about someone being pressed and all of the things that come down on you.
Right.
And makes you feel hidden, makes you feel like you just can't, like the weight is on the world, yes, weight is on your shoulders. Yes. And you are being pressed when you are depressed.
Yeah.
But in that pressing, if we relate it to a diamond is pressed. Crushed, pressed.
The
mineral is pressed, and even I think about wine is pressed. It goes through a pressing stage. Olives go through a pressing stage before they are presented as the wonderful oil, or, you know, like I said, grapes with wine. So anything that is great that God is developing, if you are going through depression, you are being pressed.
Right.
And so therefore, out of that pressing, there's greatness. And to think that, and that's what the world wants us to think, because it makes you want to stay in that depression. It makes you want to stay hidden. It makes you want to close that door. But know that outside of that depression, there's a mighty, mighty light, mighty, mighty future, a great beyond that you can't even fathom because you're being so pressed.
Right.
So we want to make sure we articulate that well and help you all get through that so we can all have better relationships within ourselves and with others.
Right. So let's start off with a simple definition. Depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest. And that, I mean, I've felt that I'll be straight with you guys. I've never been clinically diagnosed with depression, but I do know that I've had, you know, symptoms of it where you just wake up and you just don't feel like doing anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just that hopelessness. Like, and a lot of times when I feel depressed, it's feeling like there's no end to my troubles. Mm-hmm. And like Sierra is saying, as we go through this, we're going to see how that is actually not, I'm not going to say a good thing, but it's a way for us to somewhat become stronger in our personal life and the Lord in our relationships through that pressing.
And when you're in that moment of feeling depressed or depression, you ever find yourself asking God for guidance, or like, why do I feel this way? Like, you feel numb, you feel empty, or you feel heavy. And that's another thing about depression. It comes in a lot of different forms.
Right.
People are like, well, does it feel like this? Does it feel like that? I have patients who have had them. I've seen an array of different symptoms, but it all channels back to depression.
Right.
And so it comes in different forms, but if you identify it and you're able to find ways to get out of it and find some therapy, that's a wonderful thing, because it allows you to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. My students too. It's so crazy when I first became a counselor and asking them, What are you feeling? They have no idea. They have no. They don't even know how to describe it. Mm-mm. They have no way to describe it. That hopelessness, and as like as a, and I'm gonna go there as a black man. I could relate with them.
Big time.
You know, I go on the news. It's like, wow, again, another one dead because you just happen to not like how they look, or you mistake something for something, you know, that you think is a gun, or, and it's just like, that's that hopelessness comes in me where I was like, then, you know, what's the point? You're going to think anything I do, whether I have my hands up or hands in front of me, you know, you're going to shoot. And mind you guys, I understand not everyone's going to be like that, but you got to see it when you constantly see that on the media, you know, and it just makes you want to give up, and that's where that depression comes in.
So then how do we come out of that darkness? How do we come out of that numbness or that hopelessness feeling? We have to look for light. We have to look for light. And I hope that the light that you're looking for is God. But God also comes in so many different forms too.
Right.
He could be outside just taking a walk, getting a breath of fresh air, and you see a butterfly. Or you see a rainbow.
Yes.
Or you see someone who's struggling with something, and you see life come from their struggle. Or you see people who are smiling and laughing. Or you watch something that's funny on TV and it gives you, or you hear a message. Shout out to Mike Todd. You hear a message, that's like, oh, I can see a life. I can see a light. I can see you need to look for a light. You need to find some positivity, if you want to call it that. We call it God. Yeah. And God has left the Holy Spirit for us to give us remembrance that, hey, I'm still here. I still have the best for you. Let's get up. Let's keep moving forward. Yes.
And I think, and going back to Pastor Mike Ty, I just got to say it. I think when he did that Forgiveness University, that was like my breaking point for a lot of the baggage I was holding on to. Just that God loves us so much that you still want to, you know, we say we always want to still try to do the best we can in this world to do the works of, you know, God on this, on the world. But the fact that he will love me no matter what I do, it took my breath away. I remember I was sitting, unfortunately, we weren't in the same room at the same time. And Sierra can remember, I bailed out crying when he said, during Forgiveness University, just like you were saying, what a message, because just sometimes, breathe a sigh of relief.
It
breathes life into you, especially if it's straight from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You feel that Holy Spirit taking over.
Also, we had this other puzzling thought, or actually I did. Could what we call depression be a debilitating, humbling experience that God allows for us to seek him more?
Yes.
God is like oxygen. You need him to live, but we don't see it that way. Hence why we put him on the back burner. You can see the wind, right? You know what it feels like. You know how you can, like, you can't really see it, but you know what it feels like.
Right.
You can actually hear it sometime, but it's still real.
So how do you know God is real?
Because
you can feel him.
You can sense him.
I remember sometimes when I'll wake up, like you were talking about butterflies and stuff like that. I know that sometimes people might consider that corny, but just to feel, I remember one time I was feeling so bad, and I think we were on vacation, a family trip, and I walked out, and I just felt the presence of God just from the sun. Just the sun beaming down on me, giving me strength. Like, I feel like Superman. Like,
it's like an overwhelming feeling of like life more abundant. Like, it's not just about you.
Right.
Feeling. Yeah. So how do you know God is real? Like we'll say, you feel him. But also, when we go through this pressing, negative experiences, things that might happen to you, when you look at the other side of it, God is pulling you out of, or God is trying to reach you out of that experience to teach you something too.
Right.
I think also through depression, you learn so much more about yourself.
Right.
Good or bad. Like, certain things can trigger you. Certain things will send you off the deep end. And you're like, oh, I got to avoid that. Moving to the next thing. You know, like, you learn how to navigate your world, which also helps with your relationships, because knowing your boundaries, knowing triggers, knowing how to interact with the world so effectively allows you to have purposeful, better, meaningful relationships. Because when people really know, and I will say this, people who really care and they really know who you are, they go, they'll look out for you when you're not looking out for you. And that's a wonderful place to be in relationships. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, was like, we don't need to go there because you know she might be there. You might pop off. So we need to not, we need not to go there. You know what I'm saying?
And I work with young people, so it's so hard. That's one thing I do tell them. Like, and it's like, you can't tell them what to do, but you can suggest. And you're like, block. Stop. You know, that if this ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend is triggering you, why are you still? And it's hard because it's like, what is their alternative?
Right.
Like, they in their mind, they're like, well, what, you just want me not to talk to anybody? I'm like, no, I can help you. Like, let's find some, you know, close relationships. And then, oh, now you just, it's like, it's so hard to teenagers because they find some cute, like, one track mind.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know he's no good for me, but, you know, it's like, oh, God. So, but no, you're so right. Our relationships are very important because when you can control those relationships, why do we allow or those trigger, you know, triggered relationships keep entering us?
Exactly.
And yeah.
As we grow and we go through life, you learn to depend on God for other aspects of your life that you didn't think you needed him. You need him for everything.
Right.
Every part of your being, even when you're hungry, even when you're irritated, even when you are depressed. He's calling you out.
Right.
And the only way you know to call him out is if you have a pressing. It could be anything. If you're not pressed, how do you know you need him? If we always floating on cloud nine.
Yes.
Now you the God. You don't need God because you the God.
Are you saying there's benefit in your depression?
Ooh. People who go through it don't feel like it's a benefit.
I know it's not.
Because when we're going through it, we don't feel like it's a benefit.
Mm-mm.
But on the other side of it, there has to be a benefit.
Right.
Right? It has to be, especially if you come out knowing more about yourself.
Yes. I think when I feel down, I think what holds me, and everyone has to find their own thing, I think of the alternative. What if Sierra wasn't in my life? What if, you know.
That's what you're saying.
It's like, would I have been happier in the alternative? No. Hold up. Let me pick my head up and get back. You get back to work. Mm-hmm. And that's what holds me on. So as I said, everyone has their own, but that was me personally.
Or like one of my friends said, she's like, I don't like where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, I hate it. I don't know how to get out of this situation. And of course, I'm just listening to what she has to say and I'm hearing her out. But, you know, at the same time, we're like, well, let's look at this. Well, also in that time for her, it gave her time to look at different points of her life,
yeah.
View herself a little bit differently. Even though it was a scary time for her, it was a worrisome time for her, dark yes. time for her. On the other end, though, she's blossoming like a beautiful flower because now she's discovered who she truly is
right.
and who God has called her to be.
Right.
But, you know, she still lives with it.
Yes.
It's a diagnosis for her.
Yeah.
So she lives with it every day. And every day, God is exposing himself to her.
Right.
And showing her different things of way to go and how to be versus what she desires. And what she desires is completely, of course, flesh. It's not what God has called her
right.
to do. It's what her mama told her to do.
Right.
What she was trying to run from her past. And now it's like, well, I can't rely on my past
right.
to define my future. I have to rely on God to right. define my future.
Yeah.
So for her, it was an awakening. And it's a continuous awakening because she is clinically diagnosed as having depression.
Right.
So every day, it's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
It's actually, you know, it's actual physical. And that's one thing I want to make sure we get people, and we didn't say it in our video, you know, break that stigma. Break all those stigmas.
Yeah.
Because mental health is real.
Seriously.
It's not just oh, that's your problem. You need to get over it. You need to stop crying. No, that is a real injury. Some people have real injuries
yeah.
that are mental, and you can't physically see it, mm-hmm. but it's real. Mm-hmm. It is real, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so I did say we're going to, like, break down a little bit to help people. If it's your first time ever hearing a conversation about depression, or how to tie it to
right.
how you socially are able to address someone, or you have a family member and you don't know what to do, we'll give you, at the end, we'll give you like links to the Bible right. when we talk about depression, and we'll also give you places where you could go
right.
possibly to get assistance. Yeah. So I always ask my patients, and from a clinical standpoint, okay, so you're depressed. They're like, I think I am. I go, well, tell me what you're feeling. Or describe what you're going through. And they'll tell me, like, what's happening with, they'll describe their experience. They'll tell me.
That's the first thing you need to do.
Yeah, the first thing you need to do, describe your experience. Like, what's happening right now? And then, why are you feeling that way? Like, try to define it. And if you can't define it, what could be triggering you or causing you to have this feeling that you have, you know?
Right. Sometimes I, as like this says, sometimes you can't just say it in words to me. There's another way to do it. Some people could
draw
right. music. There's music. This is a song that describes me perfectly well. And they'll sing the song. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There's many artists that help people express
That's
themselves.
That's true. That's very, very true. Yes. That's true. And then once you identify the causes, and the causes could come from different places. It could come from guilt due to confessing of your sins. It could come from false guilt. It could come from misplaced shame, ungodly fears, suppressed bitterness or hatred, hopeless grieving, and unbiblical expectations. Okay, then the next part, of course, we want you to, of course,
read and observe scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one study you want to look at, Psalms 42:43. The psalmist is addressing God through his depression. And it's just, I love the psalm because it describes it how we describe it. Like, especially if you don't want to get the King James Version, I recommend like the Message Bible or the Modern English Version, so you could hear David and as he expressed. And it's not just, I know David's not the only one that wrote the psalms, but he had co-authors, but most of them were from David. And it just describes so vividly what you're looking for, as the deer panted for water, and that's just one example. But two chapters, Psalms 42, 43, and just see how that relates to your life, and read that for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And once you get into the Word, or once you spend time with God, and we haven't even said it yet, but pray through your depression.
Right.
If you have to fast during your depression, do that as well. So that you can get a closer, relationship with God. As you get a closer relationship with God, we pray and hope that you find truth.
Right.
You find a better understanding of who you are. And then once you discover that, you have to act on it. It's one thing to say, okay, now I know this. Now I see, like my friend. Now, like she knows now, okay, I'm good at this. It's not a hindrance that I'm good at this. It's actually a blessing. Mm-hmm. What can I do with this? I'm like, girl, you can do a lot of things with it. you can do a lot with all this knowledge you have now, you know? And so she acted on her truth, and now her truth has expanded to, you know, five different ways of finding income for herself. Nice. So now what she was worried about has become her blessing at the end of the day.
Amen.
And so that's a wonderful thing. That's a perfect example of acting on your truth.
Right.
You might discover that you are a bad communicator.
Wow.
You haven't communicated to the people close to you that you are depressed. Right. Or that you struggle with things.
That's hard. Some people, it's hard for people to do that.
And you learn, that's the truth that you learn about yourself, that you have not communicated that to anybody.
Right.
And that's when you need to ask God, who can I trust with my heart to tell this to? Who, right. God, that you have sent in my life that could hear me? Is it a counselor? Is it a therapist? Is it my best friend? Is it my nanny boo? Is it my grandmother? Is it my mama?
Recipe nanny boo.
Like, you know, like yes. who is it? Because we're all here together to help us get through this life together.
Right.
And that's the tie-in with relationships, is that we're here to help one another.
Right.
And we should be more helpful and more gracious to one another. To help us get through this life. Because it's hard. It's not easy.
And then realize that it's a process. You're not going to go one trip to the therapist. You're not going to get one, trip to the pastor or one meetup at a girls' night. No, it's step by step.
Yeah, bit by bit.
There's many times where I'm thinking, oh, this is, I feel good. And then I get home and then that cloud of darkness comes back.
Yep.
Because it means I need to sit down, pray, and get into God's word. Because that little turn up wasn't enough. That was just it was just covering things up.
Covering things up.
Yeah, yeah. And then number five, I want to look at your lifestyle. Just look at your lifestyle. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe you know, you're a procrastinator. You know, learn how to manage your time better. Maybe there's a lack of exercise. Maybe you're overworking. Sometimes overworking can cause that, because it's almost like a hamster on a hamster wheel. You're just doing the same thing over and over again, not going nowhere. And sometimes we're overlooking. Someone said this perfectly. The job posting will be up before your obituary.
Oh, bless it. Oh, you went there.
Yes. Remind so sometimes me, we husband. Can overwork, and then also absence of spiritual disciplines.
Just not connecting with God.
Like we told you before, even at the time you're listening to this, if you're listening at the day of release, we're in day five of our Daniel's fast. We purposely take 7 days out of first 7 days out of each month to make sure that we devote that to God, give back to our first love.
He calls us to do this year, because there's so many things that we feel he's calling us to do that we have to really take that time, be intentional with our time.
Yes.
And so the next thing on this list is number six is resolve conflicts. And I kind of tied it into if there's anything that you need to resolve in your process of being depressed, or after you discover the truth and then you evaluate your lifestyle, if there's anything you need to resolve with a friend, a family member, even with yourself, do it.
Yes.
Don't skip that, because that is so important to your ability to continue on and progress forward. And you will have, it's not a one-shot time. Like, oh, I need it this time. I'm going to do it next time. Or if it come back to me, I don't need to do that. It's a continuous cycle. And if it's happening to you and you're diagnosed with it, please seek your therapist. Please seek your psychotherapist. Please find a counselor that can guide you step by step with this. Because once you are able to go through it with somebody that you can trust, with somebody that has a degree on doing these things, it allows you to really feel some trust and feel hopeful for the future. Yes. And then number seven is...
Get to work. Yeah, it's gonna be tough to start. Mm-hmm. I know that from my own experience. It's gonna be tough to start, but every little thing counts.
Yeah,
maybe it's just okay. I'm gonna walk outside for at least 10 minutes. Like I said, Cousin Carly, you show is exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you just randomly on a hike. I'm like, I can't go in your head what you're thinking, but I feel like that kind of stuff like that. And then, you know, you start progressing slowly and slowly, getting out and letting other people in so that they can help you.
And another tie part to this is helping others can provide a new perspective on life.
Oh yeah, one thing you can do that is help others.
This entire channel.
Helping others.
This entire channel.
Sometimes going to a homeless shelter or helping out at, you know, Big Brother or Big Sister Club or just finding little charity events so that you can help out, you know. Was that Habitat for Humanity? Like, just find little things to do. Get your mind kind of back on what's important in life.
Mm-hmm. What's important?
Right.
And then number eight, we've been saying it throughout the whole time, but I want to make sure that you seek a doctor if you need to, if it's that debilitating for you. If it's not, seek a doctor.
Yes.
We always say a physician or a psychiatrist or a counselor or a psychotherapist,
right,
whatever you need so that you can be whole, so that you can feel whole, so that you can progress. Because the world might want you to be stuck there and be stuck on, stuck where you can't move and you can't grow from that. But no, God wants you to live life more abundantly. Jesus did not die for us to be stuck. He died for us to go and grow.
Bear
fruit in the world. So let's get up and keep going, okay?
Right.
So we hope that this has blessed you. Let me give you some scriptures to go
through. There's many people in the Bible from Moses to David where they showed... They went through the depression. You could see in these verses how they dealt with it, how they cried out to God, and what they experienced afterwards. So like Numbers 11, 10 through 16, that's the story of Moses. We have David, Psalms 51, Psalms 32, 1 through 5. You can look at Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 18. Jonah in the book of Jonah 4, 1 through 11. That's a good one. And then some of the psalmists, like we said. So we already gave you a psalm, but another one, Psalm 73.
Yeah.
You know, and just read those. And then one psalm that I know we've been saying verses, but one psalm that we could look at, Psalms 50, 15. Call on me in a day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you shall honor and glorify me. That's Hallelujah. God speaking to you. Call on him. Call him in the day of trouble. And it was hard. Sometimes people make it seem so easy. I know that's hard. And we don't have, you don't have to be clean about it. I think that's what people think. I got to call on God. I got to be looking nice. No. Job was going through mess. If you read the story of Job, he was down to nothing. Mess. He lost his family, lost his livelihood, money, animals dying left and right. But he called on God. He's like, God, you got to help me.
He wants
to. There's a whole book.
God wants to hear you in your mess. He wants to hear you when you're not in your mess. He wants to hear from you.
Right.
So if the first time you are having a prayer or a conversation with God, just be hot, humble, open, and transparent.
Right.
Just do it.
Right,
it will help you, and it will help your relationships going forward, so that we can all just keep going and keep thriving. We all need each other. We all have hard times. None of us are perfect. I know I'm not perfect. We're just trying to thrive, to be better, allow God to do his good in us. So.
Amen.
We're all struggling, but we're all going to get through this. We're going to get through this together.
We're going to get through this.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Yes.
So I hope this podcast was uplifting, but also very educational.
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend a few places here. And don't worry, they'll be in the description. So no matter how you listen to it, just check out the description and you'll see the places I'm mentioning right now. One place I would recommend is a National Helpline. It comes from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And that number is 1-800-662-HELP. Again, that's 1-800-662-4357. It's free, confidential. It's open 24/7 days, 365 days out of the year. It's available in English and Spanish. You can go at it by yourself or families. I know it mentions the substance abuse, but that's also could be part of mental health awareness as well. So they'll recommend local treatment facilities, support groups, and community-based organizations to you in your area. And it may be like a little mini help, especially if you call needing help at that moment. So they'll do as much as they can over the phone, but they'll definitely recommend you some places where you can get more local help. Another spot would be come from the Mental Health Association. It's a national association. And you can check out MHANational.org. And one cool thing about their website, they have a screening test. Now, I know some people frown upon self-diagnosis, but I've used this this website in my own career, and it's helped some people out. They have depression tests, anxiety tests, PTSD tests, postpartum depression tests, things like that, just to kind of let you realize where you're at in your life. Sometimes self-exploration is a healthy way to get started in your healing process as well. But they won't just leave you at that. They'll provide resources just like the helpline where you can get help locally. And then one cool feature on there is also they have resources like little mini counseling tools that you can use with yourself or your family between therapeutic sessions. So that's a really good place to go for a lot of information. And then last but definitely not least is betterhelp.com. I've heard some friends and family use this site. And if you're a person kind of like me, I don't like the face-to-face, but if you have a really busy schedule, or like I say, you don't really want to be face-to-face, you could do it virtually.
It can connect you with licensed, trained psychologists, marriage, family therapists, social workers, if you have some personal issues going on, need some resources that affect your entire family or your livelihood, and also licensed counselors as well. So if you just need a coach through the troubles you're going through mentally, you can reach out to them. They're affordable, convenient. Like I said, if you have 30 minutes in a lunch break, a few minutes between your job and going home, you can connect with these professional helps to help you get the help you need in a convenient time.
Okay. And then also, some churches also have some mental health or groups.
Right. Groups. Church as well. Especially if you're a local church.
Yeah. So check your local church. They might have a group that meets, and, you know, or they might have a like group counseling session, yes, if you will. So look into those as well. And we love you all. We hope that, like I said, this was educational, but also very uplifting to know that God cares about your depression.
Yes,
he cares about every part of bit of you.
Yes.
And I hope that you understand that from this, and that for us all to be able to grow together, we have to help one another get through this life.
Right.
And don't shame it. Don't dismiss it. It's real. Mental health is real. And we need to face it like you faced that cake you had yesterday. Or that apple you ate yesterday. Face it like that. It's real. It's not the boogeyman. It ain't like a secret. It's real, for real. Right, but we want to face it and conquer it so that we can be, so God can use us, so that we can be used, for sure. Well, we love y'all. Have a great, great day. And we'll see y'all in the next podcast. Bye-bye. Bye.